February 26, 1995. Dear Elaine, we have enjoyed our world religion class, but I did blow my front of being a sweet little old white-haired lady the other day. We were studying the many different religions in India and their customs. They are still killing baby girls over there. Someone did a survey fairly recently and came to the conclusion that they are 1 million women short. I refrain from making some unladylike remark about hoping the guys will have to start screwing themselves soon. The custom of killing baby girls has been outlawed, but it's still done. Then there's the custom of burning a man's body when he died. A really good wife was supposed to go jump on top of the pyre and burn with the old goat. If she didn't, she was supposed to express terrible grief the rest of her life. She wasn't even supposed to comb her hair. And the brothers-in-law were free to use her. Well, it just went on and on like that, and of course I was doing a slow burn. I finally shocked them by saying that my favorite expression was the one about God creating man and then looking down and saying, "Oh, hell, I can do better than that." And that's when he made woman. Well, I wasn't content to shut up there. I went on to say that God should have destroyed the first man and made another one. He'd had plenty of experience by then, and he should have been able to come up with a reasonably good model. One young man asked, "What does your husband think of that?" And I said, "Oh, he's used to my opinion, and he's heard it lots of times." I'll be interested in seeing how they treat me this week. I nearly blew my top again, but they were talking low. One man said there are some who say that the Book of Solomon is an allegory and relates to Christ's relationship with the church. I wanted to say it sounded like some damn men trying to put a good spin on that old sex pot. I'm going to try to read it again before the next class. I hope I can keep my cool and my ladylike ways. Otherwise, I might end up telling him what I think about those horny old prophets in the Old Testament. One young man came up to me after class and he said, "Madeline, it seems to me that you don't like much about the Old Testament." And I said, "You're right, I don't." And then he said, "Well, is there anything at all that you can say good about it?" Well, I knew he was baiting me. I could have, but I decided to have a little fun with him. So I said, "Well, sure. I do think you have to admire the Jews for getting that trash published." Quentin and I both feel this class has stimulated our thinking. I'm reading Deepak Chopra's book. He's an Indian. It's incredible to realize how much great wisdom has come out of India and how stupid they still are. Herb Smith said they were very advanced in math, science, medicine, and many other things 2,000 years before Jesus was born. This week we're going to study Buddha. I really don't know much about him or the Buddhist religion, so that should be interesting. Quentin and I were talking about your friend, the judge, and how he sounds so much like the other men you've had in your life. I think I've figured out why they're attracted to you. I told Quentin I think they see you as a challenge and they want to conquer you. Quentin replied immediately, "No, that's not the reason. They think if they could conquer her, just look at what they'd have." Well, they always show a good personality and a strength which you admire. I can't remember a meek, weak, or mild man ever showing an interest in you. Can you? Like I said, this was just a case of trying to figure something out, and anyway, we're glad you dumped him before you got too involved. We were supposed to go back to the college this morning for our world religion class, but Quentin didn't sleep very well, so he went back to bed. I told him not to worry about missing class and to sleep if he could. I really kind of hated not to go because I thought during the week that if I had the chance, I would tell them that if I had to choose between the God of the Old Testament or the devil, that I'd take the devil every time. At least he was consistent. Well, who knows? Maybe I'll have a chance to share that in another class. Quentin is very concerned about his legs and his future. His legs have been bothering him for months. He's put off going to the doctor, hoping the exercise class would strengthen them enough, but he realized last week it's not working. We will see Dr. Kaufman tomorrow. He's the one who originally operated on Quentin's knees. He had to give up surgery, which he loved, because he's had a rough time with prostate cancer. I feel he will understand Quentin's situation. Your dad has had to give up so much already, but having to give up work is the hardest of all. He has it figured out that he's going to start the conversation by saying he can't do yard work, housework, play golf, or dance, and then see what the doctor says. Later, he will say that he can't do tractor work either. I think he's afraid if he starts out saying he can't do tractor work, that the doctor will say, "So what?" I know you can appreciate how we go back and forth in our thinking about knee replacement surgery. How about his breathing? How about the weakness in his leg as a result of the stroke? In case he does have the surgery, it will probably be on both knees. I keep saying we will pray about it. Pray for the doctor to make the right decision, and then wait. You can well imagine how hard it is to put it out of our minds. We're grateful for Larry and Terry. One of them will go with us to this appointment. Terry has been good about not pushing her opinions on us, and she doesn't hover over us and act as if we're old people who can't take care of ourselves. And we appreciate that, too. We thought about you a lot over the weekend, and we hope that all of you had a wonderful time. I'll be eager to hear how Annie reacted to the big welcome. We are so glad you are having a chance to be mother and daughter again. We have prayed that all of your children would remember all of the love you have given them, what you have tried to teach them, and that they would feel the same love for you that they had before. Now we feel like we can say, thank you, God. We will still be praying for guidance for all of you. It is such a joy to us to know that you have a job you like and that things are going well. We are proud of the way you've handled the last 18 months. I never knew there were businesses that placed high-tech employees in companies on a temporary basis. I wonder if selling people's skills will be a lot different from selling advertising. It sounds like you'll have the opportunity to meet a lot of interesting people. I always admire the way you look to yourself to find the problem. You don't waste time and energy in a negative way. As you know, when a person does that, he or she not only has regrets about the past, but will soon have more regrets and lost opportunities. Lots of love, Mom. April 21st, 1995. Dear Elaine, I've been thinking about Robert all week. It's hard to believe he's 18 today. He was the sweetest baby and the cutest little boy I've ever known. He's had a rough couple years, but I think that sweetness is coming back. I stop in at Target to see him whenever I'm in Hutch. He says he's doing well in school. He and Eric seem to be getting along fine in their apartment. I was so surprised when you said you've decided that you need to move to Albuquerque. I expected you to say that you'd enjoyed your business trip, but I sure didn't expect to hear you say that you intended to move there. However, I have learned over the years to trust my intuition, and I think you should probably trust yours. If you feel that strongly that you belong there, then you should go. I'll be eager to hear if your company will transfer you. It seems like you might be able to find more high-tech jobs for people in New Mexico because of Sandia and the Los Alamos labs. At any rate, we'll be interested to hear how it all develops. I don't know if having the knee surgery was a mistake. Quentin doesn't have the intense pain anymore, but he sure has lost a lot of ground in other ways. I'll keep you posted. Love, Mom. July 7th, 2005. Dear Elaine, congratulations on the new job and the move. It was good to talk to you last night. We do enjoy hearing about the various things you are experiencing. It's a bright spot in my life to know what's going on in yours. I don't mean to be snoopy, just living vicariously. It will be fun to learn about Albuquerque through your eyes. I always forget to tell you how pretty my flowers are and how much I'm enjoying them. I really love the snapdragons. They are every color imaginable, and most of them are two-colored. They just bloom and bloom. The flowers you planted in the flower boxes were getting ruined on the porch railing from all the rain. I moved them in front of the garage, and they're doing really well now. The wildflower garden is absolutely beautiful. Something new starts blooming all of the time. Quentin has not been terribly impressed with him. I told him that the flowers make me think of being in the mountains. My tomatoes are a disaster this year. The hail was hard on them, and I think they must have some kind of blight. I get so provoked. I'm very tempted to go out and chop them out and plant the ground to perennials. But my heart does not think that hoeing is any fun at all. I want to have a lot of flowers next year that won't take a lot of work. I do enjoy getting out of the house and seeing the beauty of the flowers. It breaks the monotony of nothing but housework and taking care of your dad. Going back to Quentin, he used the urinal last night instead of staggering to the bathroom. He couldn't get out of bed by himself. I had to take his arm and help him get up. We had the walker and the urinal in the bedroom, so it worked fine. He did not get a depend wet all night, and that made him feel good. I'm still having trouble getting him to use his cane. So many times he will pick it up and carry it. I tell him that will not do him a bit of good if he starts falling. I hate to write such a dismal, unpleasant letter, but it is full of facts that I feel you would want to know, or at least that I want to discuss with you. We love you very much, and you are a bright spot in our lives. Love, Mom. July 30th, 1995. Dear Elaine, it's nice that Univision is paying the rent on your apartment until the house in Colorado Springs sells. I enjoy thinking about you and Annie spending your evenings around the swimming pool. It must seem like a vacation to both of you. I'm glad you're back in the television business. I don't think you would have ever fully recovered from being fired if you hadn't taken this job. I told a few friends that you were working for a Spanish language television station. They were so surprised that you could get a job like that when you don't speak Spanish. I told them that you didn't have to speak Spanish, that you were hired to teach Hispanic sales staff how to sell advertising to white people. We were both excited about coming to see you, but I don't think that's going to happen. I haven't canceled our reservations as yet, but I'm pretty sure that I will. It seems to me that your dad is getting worse each day. Some days are better than others. We can't either one figure out what in the world is happening. There's another problem that I thought about this morning. He has to wear a depend undergarment to bed. He usually goes through three of them in a night. Most of the time he gets to the bathroom, but there are times when the bed is wet all the way down to the rubber sheet. I would hate for him to urinate all over your mattress and carpet. When he gets up in the night, he tries so hard to get to the bathroom. It's heartbreaking to see the way he stumbles around trying to walk. I have trouble getting him to use the cane, and I have insisted that he keep it by the bed and use it at night. The other night when he went to the bathroom and left the cane by the bed, I took it to the bathroom, plopped it down in front of him, and I said, "Use this damn thing!" I flounced off to bed. When he came in, I told him that I was not going to call Larry in the middle of the night to come pick him up off of the floor. I told him I would take him a pillow and a blanket and he could spend the rest of the night on the floor. He laughed and said, "You wouldn't be that mean, would you?" I replied, "Just try me." A lot of the times when we go to the park, he picks up the cane and he carries it. The doctor told him the other day that he could get hurt falling. He has fallen 6 times in the last 10 days. The doctor said he should use the cane for balance. I think he's done a little better since the doctor scolded him. Yesterday morning when we went to town, he walked great, but he didn't do so well this morning. Dr. Lars Erlier said some people who have a stroke never completely recover from the knee surgery. I asked the doctor if he could prescribe an antidepressant that would work. The doctor asked if Quentin had trouble sleeping, and when I told him that he did, he prescribed Elavil. One of the side effects is a dry mouth. The good news is I feel like I can see a difference. You mentioned the other night that depression is sometimes caused by a chemical mix-up in the body. The reason your dad needs an antidepressant is an emotional one. He has not been using his mind at all, and I can see he isn't as sharp. I have been fussing with him about that. I looked at Legos yesterday, and they were so terribly expensive. I asked him if he would use them with his right hand if I bought them. I bought a small set last year that made into an airplane. He had fun doing it, and he got along fine, but he used his left hand. I've told him he ought to watch more TV, read, or play solitaire, anything where he would be using his mind. I asked him yesterday what he thinks about all the time he sits at the kitchen table not doing anything. He looked out at our hill, which had just been plowed that day, and he said how much he enjoyed seeing that. He also said he thinks about the crops and the farm. I checked out a book at the library that I had read and I thought he might like. It was about some men on the Lewis and Clark expedition. One afternoon I had laid down for a nap and a very unusual noise woke me up. I jumped up out of bed and I rushed to the dining room where he was sobbing. I couldn't understand what he was telling me, but I looked at the book and I saw he was in a place where the wife and husband had to separate and there was a possibility that the husband might not return. That was the cause of his sobbing. I got a couple real-life books yesterday, and I hope he can get interested in them. Our wheat crop came to about $2,000 this year, which is really not adequate. The crop adjuster will be here this week to see about the hail damage to the corn. Ours was hit at a very bad stage. It really doesn't look too bad now. Larry said a lot will depend on how much stock damage there was. If there's a lot, smut, or some other problem could develop. Everyone wants to know how I'm doing, and I appreciate the concern. I get along fine when I can put Madeline aside and be a channel for love and caring. When the ego of Madeline takes over, it is terrible. I can feel very frightened and very sorry for Madeline. It's a miserable feeling, which I try to eliminate as quickly as possible. This is a lot like the war. I used to say I wished I knew when Quentin was going to be home so I could mark off the days. It's probably just as well that I don't know what the future holds now. This could go on for years, which in my opinion is the very worst thing that could happen. I could let Quentin go very easily now. He's not happy, and he really doesn't have anything very wonderful to look forward to. Quentin is ready to go to bed. It isn't 9:30 yet, but I will go too. I was reading a book this afternoon, and I didn't take a nap. I was very displeased with him last night. I didn't go to bed when he did because I was very interested in a book I was reading. I can be completely transported to a different time and place with a good book. He came in about midnight, wanting to know when I was going to come to bed. He hadn't been asleep yet. He can get up in the morning, eat breakfast, and go back to bed and sleep like he's dead. He doesn't hear the telephone. When the cleaning lady was here last week, I told her to go ahead and run the sweeper as it wouldn't bother him a bit, and it didn't. At night, though, I think the flutter of gossamer butterfly wings would awaken him. Love, Mom.